Disclaimer. Hold on. Here we go.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.
And now, joining us on the Dolph Ward AD in the Morning Show, he is the full staff of finance, a ninja of numbers, ladies and gentlemen, the Baron of Bettendorf Financial Group. It's Mr. Doug Weir. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, what's happening is fog. I'm looking out at the out my window here, as you say, and I can't see the Mississippi River. Normally, I've got a view of the Mississippi, and I can't see 20 feet in front of my face. Pretty crazy.
So
everybody
still,
drive safe.
Yeah, still real foggy then down by the river.
It is. It is really foggy by the river. It's clearing off, though. I'm starting, as we're talking here, I'm starting to see things move in the distance. So that's a good sign.
That is a good sign. You guys aren't underwater down there or anything? You're not an island?
No, no. Unfortunately, the city of Bettendorf has a good flood management program, and they put in a flood wall years ago, and we're above the dikes. But unfortunately, some of the areas we drove around definitely had some flash flooding in the area, our old neighborhood and stuff. So sorry to those people who are drying out. I mean, that much water, the ground just can't accept that fast, can it? Wow.
No.
That
was, no.
And I've been through that. I remember being waist deep in water in one of our old houses and having stuff floating everywhere. It was a mess. Been there. Been there years ago. Now I live on a high hill. Yeah. I've got the high ground now. I don't have that problem.
Move to the top of the hill, Doug Weir. It's always a good a good idea.
That was my goal in both houses, yeah. So I agree with you.
We had when we first moved into the house we live in, I think we're kind of in a drought cycle now, as you know, like for the country, whereas we were in a wet cycle then. And our first couple of years, it was like, you know, backup sump pumps and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on all the time. Like it was a lot of work. It was scary too. My wife, we had this backup sump pump that I had to wire to a pole so it wouldn't fall over and, like, you know, electrify the water. And
sure.
I remember my wife just being terrified that, you know, I was going to be down there in the water and something was going to happen. And yeah, it was not a good time. But anyway, let's talk about money. Tariffs. I just saw the European Union decided to not put down retaliatory tariffs on us, with hopes of making a deal. I know we got some new stuff going on with Canada and Mexico.
Yeah, Canada and Mexico want to cut a deal this week. They are trying to play nice. They went from being mouthy to all of a sudden wanting to play nice and wanting to cut a deal this week, because otherwise 30% is going to be slapped on them, and they can't handle that. That would wipe either one of them out. So they are wanting to negotiate. It's funny how everybody's come around to this whole negotiating thing, and we've brought in billions of dollars in revenue. So we've gotten billions of revenue, and we've got countries willing to renegotiate their tariffs. You know, that's who we have in charge. Captain Chaos is getting it done.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, markets are back to where they were, if not higher, than what they were before all this started.
Yeah, 0.5% of the highest of all time.
Oh, wow.
Within a half a percent. I looked this morning because I knew that would be a question, and we're within a half a percent of all-time record highs in every category.
Okay, so all the pain, all the gloom and doom, all the, you know, the sky's falling stuff, don't have to worry about that now.
No, doesn't seem to be the case, and inflation numbers should be coming out this week, and it looks like inflation is probably down. Based upon what we're seeing and hearing and what it feels like. And if that's the case, I don't understand why the Federal Reserve hasn't lowered interest rates. But I would anticipate that soon. I would anticipate they'll probably lower rates at least a couple times yet this year. And if they do that, this economy should be off and running, roaring ahead.
Well, let's hope so. You know, we got to...
Stay invested. Don't get out of the market, people. I know people that got out of the market a few months ago that are crying.
Yeah, because you sold low and now it's high, right? You're supposed to do it the other way around.
I know. It's been frustrating to watch. So don't do that, people. Be more like Mr. Gates. That was our other thing.
Yeah. $51 billion he gave away last week. Last week.
Yep.
50, that's a lot. I mean, you know, I gotta pay to get my truck fixed or something. It feels, you know, it's like, oh, that hurt. this dude just gave away $51 billion. So can you unpack that for me? What does that look like, Doug Weir? How would you help him handle that if it was you?
Well, and that's a brilliant move. So he, keep in mind, when you say he's giving away $51 billion, he does have 175 of those billions total, okay?
Right.
So
it was a third of his fortune.
Exactly. So he has 175-ish roundabouts, and he took $51 billion of it, and he didn't necessarily just throw it to the wind, you know, driving down the highway. He took that $51 billion and moved it to the Gates Foundation. That is a foundation that he has some control over because it does have his name on the front of it. And he's got to do that before the foundation closes here in a few years. So he's fully funding the foundation so that it has piles of money in it, pocket, you know, big piles of money that foundation can then do his bidding. So in other words, he does still control the money, in other words.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and I know they've done a lot of vaccination stuff for like poor countries. They've put a lot of money into, or helped a lot of poor countries with a lot of money.
Yes.
And I mean, I know right now I just was talking a story about how a lot of food banks across the country are empty. They're running out because of the demand, and people worried about, you know, not getting as much in SNAP or some of that stuff. And so you're just seeing the demand go up for food banks. And maybe they'll throw a few bucks that way.
Food and medicine is what the direction of his charities are. You are correct.
Okay.
Food and medicine. And he has worked with, so I'm a member of the Rotary, as some probably other listeners are. And the Rotary pretty much eliminated polio in the world with his, and the Gates Foundation was a big help with that. They came in and helped the application in Africa and donated billions to that effort. So, yeah, I mean, he's done some good for sure. There's a lot of people like, oh, he's evil, he's this, you know, a lot of conspiracies. But, boy, I tell you what, on the medical front, they've done a lot of good. And I think it'll continue.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, and that's good. I don't know, ever since maybe just getting older and then the split from his wife and all that stuff, he just looks kind of pissed off all the time.
Yep.
And so I don't know what exactly what that is or why, but I remember years ago before he just seemed like a more happy go lucky guy, and now not so much.
Yeah. With everything in the news and that famous island off the coast, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? I hate to get into conspiracies, but
yeah,
you're wondering what's going on and what's going on behind the scenes. Are there problems going on criminally? You know, I don't know what's going on. So I just want to stick to the facts of what I know, and that is the fact that he gave away $51 billion and he's putting it towards good. But it's going to a foundation, so you're not really he's not giving it up entirely.
Right.
He can't get the money back, but he does have 125 other billion in case he needs to fall back on that.
But, man, how fun would it have been to just get $51 billion in cash in some big boxes and, like, dump it off the Empire State Building? Here you go, everybody. Woo, we're partying tonight. You know, I mean, that would be a lot more fun way to give away $51 billion. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine, what would that be, like a semi-truck of money? I mean, I don't know how much, you know, like, that would take up a lot of space. It'd be a lot of boxes.
That sounds like a radio man stunt to me, man. That sounds like something a DJ do. Let's throw turkeys out of a plane. Oh, wait, that's been tried. Let's throw money out of a plane.
Yeah, the turkey thing's been done. Money out of a plane, I don't know. I think we might be able to get something there. Oh, turkeys out of a plane.
I'm coming back, I know. Yeah,
that's classic. Funny.
No, I don't know how much that would be, but I think it's better off the way he's doing it. And that makes sense. So what you do is he's got, obviously he's got stock. He's not giving cash. He's not giving dollar bills. So what you do is, in the way this works, and I do this with charities around here, so I'll pick on my favorite charity, the Friendly House. And so let's say that I want to give the Friendly House $10,000. I could give them $10,000 in cash, and I could write that off. Or I could say, hey, I have some stock. I have some green stock that I bought. In the green stock that I bought, I only paid $2,000 for it, but it's worth $10,000 now. So if I sell it, I have to pay taxes on that gain, right? I'd have to pay taxes on an $8,000 gain. Or I can just take and give that $10,000 in stock to the charity. So I give it to the Friendly House charity. The Friendly House gets the $10,000 in stock. I get to tax deduct $10,000.
Ah, so that's how
I don't
that
pay
goes.
Taxes on the gain, and the charity then cashes in the stock. The charity doesn't pay any taxes on the gain either.
Ah, well played, sir. Well played. So that's
so
how that
works.
If you
have $51 billion of stock that cost you a billion, let's say, your cost basis is a billion, you get to tax deduct $51 billion, but it didn't really cost you $51 billion.
Yeah, what do you think Bill Gates' tax return looks like this year?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine how they're filed, how they're calculated. I mean, I know how difficult mine is, and mine has gotten a lot simpler the last few years, but it used to be very complicated, but nothing like. And that's when they said they wanted to see the president's tax return. I'm like, you wouldn't know what you're looking at. It's got to be just outrageously long.
Yeah. Page after page. You know, we gotta get us another Schedule C in here.
A couple of years ago, I was 58 pages long just on my federal.
Oh, really?
58 pages. 58 pages on my federal return.
Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous. It shouldn't take that.
That's wild. Yeah, wow. I don't even know what to say. 50, and then you expound that by, you know, Bill Gates or a Trump or somebody like that. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I just own two companies, and we had some property that we owned. I mean, you know, when I say some property, I mean a few properties, not like the Trump people or not like other people. Just.
Well, Bill Gates has got a lot of property, too. He's the largest farmer in America.
That's right. Right. That's good. It's good you know that. Yeah, one of the largest landowners and also a huge stockholder in the Big Green Machine here locally. And
oh, I didn't know that.
He and Warren Buffett used to be. I don't know if Buffett's people still do, but yeah.
Dang.
In the Big Green Machine, they own quite a bit. It was always curious to me. It's like, what's going on? Why do we own all this farm ground and now we own the Green Machine? What are we going to buy? What are we going to control? And,
right.
Mm-hmm.
What you up
be
to?
Curious to see. Yeah, what's up? I always want to know the master plan, but it's hard to see. You know, it's until after the shoe falls.
Yeah. Yeah, well, these really rich guys, it's tough to read, you know, what's going to go next. I mean, you know, Musk is a good example with all of his different companies, all of his wealth. You know, he's got a lot of sway, but now I just saw a story that said people are saying privately that he's losing his grip on reality. I think his tour duty with the government there on the Doge thing, and then him and Trump going back and forth. Now he's starting his own political party, you know. And yeah, he's always been a little crazy anyway, which is, I think, just kind of part of his total package there, genius / crazy / I don't know. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much money he's willing to spend to try and influence the upcoming election next year.
Well, I've got a good friend. I call him Dr. Jimmy. He's a psychiatrist, and I talk to him almost every day. I haven't seen Jimmy in probably 20 years, but we talk online every day. And we talk about the Cubs. We talk about politics and different things. And he has a very interesting spin on politicians and on Musk. It's always interesting to talk to him. But he predicted this fallout way before it happened. He predicted Musk not getting his way and leaving and being mad. He predicted all this months ago.
Really?
And he's not always right, but when it comes to human behavior, he's pretty good. He's very leftist, and he's got a bent that way that he can't help himself. But when it comes to predicting people, he's very good at it. And he called this one pretty closely.
Huh.
I wish I could go back and print some of the stuff he said and then compare it, but it's pretty dang close to what's happening. That these two eagles would bump into each other, they'd break out, and then he and Musk and Trump would go at each other all summer long. I need to ask him what's going to happen next. Or maybe he's lost touch of it since they broke up. But
well, let me know.
He's pretty good.
Let me know what's going to happen next, too, would you?
Yeah. Yeah, if I had a crystal ball, this business would be very easy, my friend. I tell all my clients that. I don't have a crystal ball. I just gotten used to listening to the music, and all music isn't the same, but it's got a similar refrain. I'm pretty good at kind of listening to it and going, I've been here before. Let's do this.
Right.
You
right.
Know.
Yeah.
It's always a new song every time.
Well, I think Patrick's got the crystal ball, doesn't he? That's your guys' secret to success over there.
If he does, he hasn't shared it with me yet. Maybe that's something he found when he was based in the Middle East.
Yeah, he's got that foreign policy. foreign policy crystal ball. He's pretty good at predicting, you know, what's going to happen next or what we could see and stuff like that. It's about be time here soon to get him back on the show too, just to get caught up on everything. But everything's kind of been stuck in a malaise, the same as it was before.
Yeah, it is. I'm curious. There was some chatter over the weekend because it seems like Putin is stuck and he's not moving any further. And of course, that's got President upset because Putin's not willing to make concessions. He just wants more and more and more. He wants to take over. And that wasn't according to plan. So we'll have to see. That seems to be on the back burner at the moment, as you say. I think right now they're focused on what's ahead of them this week. It seems to be 1 week at a time right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. It's like something different all the time. So keep your eyes open and your ears open and try to figure out what's going to happen next, right?
That's right. I've got all these newbie professionals coming into the market, a lot of people with new jobs. I've been meeting with some new clients, and their kids have called wanting to have help setting their 401ks up. It's a great time to rebalance your 401ks, everybody. I know I say that, but that's because you're supposed to do it. Get in there and let's rebalance your 401ks. Get a little more U.S.-centric. Get away from some of the international holdings. But get, you know, keep global investments. Give it the investor or give the manager a chance to buy U.S. and non-U.S. stocks, but don't just buy international stocks. Buy something, what I call global stocks, stocks that go globally, because I still think that's a play. Also, I think people are going to make some money in bonds if interest rates drop. So it's a good time to look at your 401ks, everybody.
All right. Well, there you go. Advice from the best of the best. Doug Weir, Bettendorf Financial Group, of course, joins us every Monday here at 8:30. Doug, thanks again so much for your time this week. And, we'll see how much money Bill Gates gives away this week, and we can talk about that next Monday.
Oh, I can see the bridge. That's a good sign. So,
all right. Fog's clearing.
Fog is clearing. Everybody safe.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Be well.
Have a good one. You too, buddy. Here we go with a disclaimer.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated. A broker-dealer. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative. Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated. A registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.